Let's just tell him how marvelous he is, how wonderful he is, how much we need him. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we just need you tonight, oh God. Lord, we need you every minute. We need you every second. We need you every hour, oh God. Oh, Lord, we just call upon your name, oh God. Lord, we just raise praises to you tonight, oh God. Lord, we're so thankful for your work on the cross. We're so thankful for what your son did for us, oh God. We're so thankful for your love and for your mercy and your grace, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, we just praise you. We just praise you. We just praise you. We're so thankful for you tonight, Lord. We're so thankful for you, Lord. We're so thankful that we can come to you, and we're not coming to a piece of rock or a piece of wood, but we're coming to a living, live God. We're so grateful, Father, that your ear is not deaf and your arm is not short. We're so thankful, Father, that you hear the cries of your people. We're so thankful, Father, that you walk through every trial and through every storm with us, oh God. We're so thankful that you didn't leave us orphans. We're not abandoned and we're not alone, Father. We're so thankful because you're with us every minute of every day. We're so thankful, Father, for your great provision, for what you've done for us, oh God. We're so thankful, Father. We're so thankful for who you are. We're so thankful for you, Lord. And we just praise you tonight, Lord. We just praise you. We just praise you. We just praise you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we want more, precious Father. We want more, Jesus. We just love you, Lord, and we just want more of you in our lives. More of you, Lord. We want to be so filled with you that we diminish, and all that can be seen is you in us, oh God. Lord, we want you to become greater and us to become smaller, precious Jesus. Oh, Lord, we just praise you tonight, oh God. We just praise you, mighty Lord. We just praise you, Jesus. We just praise you, Lord. Oh, we worship you. Oh, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Father. Lord, I won't let the rocks cry out for me. I won't let the trees worship for me, Lord. I praise you, Father. I praise you. I praise you, Lord, from the depths of my soul. I praise you, Jesus. I worship you, my King and my Savior. I worship you, Lord. Oh, we just worship you. We just worship you. We just worship you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you. We know that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord. We know that you have not changed, oh God. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, because you know the plans that you have for us, oh God. Plans to bless us and not to harm us. Plans to give us a hope and a future. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We just praise your name tonight, oh God. We just praise you, Jesus. Oh, we just praise your name, Lord. We praise your name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to your name, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, I probably have to repent, because I'm a little jealous tonight. I hear that something great is going on. Where did you say? Kentucky? Something great is going on in Kentucky. God is stirring in Kentucky, and I want that here. I want that here. I want that now. I want to be a part of that. Oh, my heart wants that so desperately. I'm so jealous. It's not here. Lord, send it here. Send it here. Send it here, Jesus. Because we need more of you. We want more of you, Lord. We're so, so desperate for more of you, Jesus. We just praise your name. Oh, Lord, we just turn this time over to you. We ask you to have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Whatever you want. We're here. Whatever you want, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we just want more. We want more. We want more, Lord. We're so hungry. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hurabashi. I'm ready for that move here. I know it's coming. So ever since the beginning of us coming back here, the Lord told me that something big was coming. And I know that he was speaking about a move of his spirit, not all the awful things that are happening too, but I know that he was talking about his presence and moving in us. Hallelujah. Oh, are we ready for it? Are we ready for it tonight? I mean, really, have we searched our hearts and are we ready? Pastor was saying that it's going on 24 hours a day. That means giving up sleep, giving up food, giving up time. Are we really ready for that kind of a move? Are we really ready for it? Because we need to get there. Because somebody in Kentucky was ready for it. Somebody in Kentucky was hungry for it and was on their faces and praying for it. Are we that ready? Are we ready enough to give up that much time? To put that much effort into worship? To put that much strength into seeking the Lord and being in His presence? Hallelujah. I'm so ready. I'm so ready. I'm so ready. I'm so ready. I want to see the things here that I've seen in Mexico. I want to see the services here that I've seen in Mexico. I want to see God move here in our church, in our city, in our state, in our country, like I've seen Him move in Mexico. But we have to be hungry. We have to be seeking Him. We have to be ready for it. Oh, praise the Lord. And you know, sometimes there's things that get in the way. This message tonight is called The Weight of the Little Foxes. You know, and sometimes the little foxes get in the way. Sometimes the little foxes in our lives rob us from what God has or from what God wants to do. Go with me in your Bibles to John chapter 15, please. Verse 5. Whew, hallelujah, Jesus. Whew, yes, Lord, hallelujah. The word says that I am the vine. This is Jesus talking, just to be clear. It says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. First of all, Jesus is the vine. That's the base of it. Let's just use a grapevine for the illustration. That's the base of it. The trunk, the part where everything is connected in. The branches are the pieces that go out from it that bear the fruit. You and I are connected into the base of the vine. And Jesus is that vine, is that base, is our foundation. We are to bear the fruit. You and I are who carries the fruit, who bears the fruit in our lives. There should be fruit. And this is so clear because this isn't a question. It isn't a possibility. You know, if you abide in me, you might bear fruit. It doesn't say you'll bear a little bit of fruit. It says much fruit. And if we are in a place where we're only bearing a little bit of fruit, there's a problem in our vine. Because the word says we will bear much fruit. And the word is always the truth. The word is the standard. This is it right here. Much fruit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So too it says if we abide. Abide means to live in. If we live in Him, live in Him, that means in Him, day and night, in Him, live in Him. It is a lasting joining. You're never without Him. He's always present in your mind. He's always in your thoughts. He's always where you are. That is to abide. Whew, to abide. And if we abide in Him, we bear much fruit. Not a little, not a couple, not a single grape, but much fruit. Hallelujah. The only way we're ever going to bear fruit is if our lives are connected into the vine, Jesus Christ. If we live in Him, if we abide in Him. So, separate from Him, apart from Him, it's kind of clear cut. It's kind of dry. No fruit. There's no possibility. There's not a maybe. There's not an other option. It's either abide in him and bear fruit, or there's no fruit to be bore. There's no fruit to be had. And we are to bear fruit. We are to show the fruit of the Spirit. We are to show the fruit of Jesus living in us and working in us all the time. All the time. That's a lot of time. That means at home. It means not just when we come to church on Sundays, we hug necks and we smile, even when we're thinking, oh, I'd like to kick them in the teeth. Praise the Lord, I love you. You know, not when you're thinking, I can't stand that person. God, I love you, sister. God bless you. No. It's real fruit, real love. Real joy, real peace, real kindness, where you do something just to bless, just because. Not because you're looking for something back, not because you expect something back, but because you just want to be kind. You just want to be good, like Jesus is good to you. You know what I love the most about this church, aside from you, Pastor? What I love most about this church is at present we are a small church with a mega heart. The things this church does is amazing. Amazing. I'm telling you, the things, the love that is in this church, the heart that is in this church is amazing. But it can't just be in here on Wednesday and on Sunday. It's got to be out there. It can't just be me and Elaine that sees amazing. It's got to be everybody out there who sees amazing. And it's got to be me and Elaine that's telling everybody how amazing it is. And it's got to be you. And it's got to be you showing how amazing this place is. Because we have to bear fruit. That fruit that others can see. Hallelujah. In John 15, verses 1 and 2, it says that I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may be more fruitful. Nothing like a good clipping to make more fruit come, right? So in this verse, take away implies complete removal. It implies unable to save. It doesn't say that he fertilizes it and he tenderly and lovingly speaks to it morning and night, and that he just cuts a little bit off the end there to inspire. It's like he takes it away. Takes it away. It's a removal. It's a complete getting rid of. I don't want to be that branch. I don't want to be that branch that's so unfruitful, so without utter hope of change, that I have to be gotten rid of. Hallelujah. To prune. You know, pruning is something altogether different than getting rid of. First of all, pruning is for the benefit of the tree or of the vine. It stimulates new growth. It improves the overall health of whatever we're talking about, the vine or the tree. It improves the appearance. Hallelujah. It applies to us, or it is applied in this to us. It's about discipline, growth, spiritual appearance. Pruning is about a little bit of disciplining. We're going to cut out. You know how we take care of our hair because those ends get dry and they get split and they start getting unruly. Well, we go get it cut right off. We get those ends cut right off. God does that with pruning. Oh, this end's gotten wild. It's growing out wild and crazy, and it's just not as good as it should be. So we're just going to prune it back. We're going to just take this back and we're going to inspire new growth. And everywhere the Lord prunes, new growth, healthy growth, good growth comes forth. And you know, they prune the trees back like now. It's time to prune now. So that in the next harvest, you will see new harvest. You'll see a bigger harvest. You'll see new growth. And where the new growth is where the fruit comes. So if we're like as fruitful as we could possibly be right now, the Lord's got to prune so we can get even more fruitful. so we can be even more fruitful. Because even bushes, trees, vines, grapevines, they'll get to a place where they're just not producing more. So they come and cut it back, way back, so that it'll produce a greater harvest than the harvest before it. So we need to be taking this pruning and looking forward to it, that we would be even more fruitful in the things that we do. Hallelujah. So the Lord is the master gardener, the vine dresser, the one who does the pruning. But we have to be grounded in the vine. We have to be living in the vine, Jesus. Hallelujah. What could possibly stop us from abiding in Jesus? There's really only one answer to that. And it's choice. It's choice. It's your choices. And it's my choices. It's all about choice. Choosing. Are you going to choose to bear fruit? Are you going to choose to receive the pruning and bear more fruit? Are you going to choose to bear fruit? Are you going to discipline your flesh as the Lord instructs and as the Lord shows you where He's pruning your life? Are you going to discipline your flesh that you might be more fruitful in the things of the Lord? Or are we going to just let our flesh grow wild and run crazy? Because that's what it does when it gets control. Hallelujah. Go with me to Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15, please. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15 says this. Catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. How can the little foxes spoil the vines? What do they got to do with the fruit and the vines? First of all, let's go back to the grapevines. Remember, Jesus is the vine and that we are the branches. The branches are what produce the fruit. So first of all, when the branches are blooming, the flowers are tender. They're not connected in there by a steel rod or Gorilla Glue. And if the foxes run through the vineyard after mice or whatever reason they would have for running through the vineyards, they knock the blooms off. And when they knock the blooms off, there's no fruit. So the foxes rob the fruit because they're knocking the blooms off. And I've seen a real life example of this. Our neighbors down at the bottom of our stairs had this big tree. And we were told it was an avocado tree. We don't know what kind of tree it was because in 19 years it never one time bore fruit. The tree was healthy. It was big. It grew so tall that you couldn't have got to the fruit if it had any. But those big trucks that bring supplies to the grocery stores, I don't know, they're about 12, 14 feet tall. They're really tall. So it would come by underneath that tree, whooshing, and blow off all of the flowers, all the buds. So it absolutely never bore fruit. Right? And so nobody really knows what that tree was. Avocado, mango, fig. My husband's back there saying, fig, fig. And so nobody really knows because it never bore fruit. Because those big trucks that came a couple of times a day bringing deliveries to the store, the motion would blow all of the flowers off the tree. And you never once saw fruit on that tree. 19 years of no bearing fruit. 19 years of the blooms or the blossoms being blown off that tree, or the birds robbing them or taking them off. But in all those years, never once did we see a flower, and never once, except for on the ground, and never once did we see fruit in a tree. That's what the little foxes do through the vineyards. They run through there, and you know, they're not super tall, but where they run, they knock them off. That's one of the things the foxes do. Hallelujah. And the little foxes represent things in our lives. Things like anger. Things like hate, greed, bitterness,
selfishness, covetousness, envy, idleness, laziness, unforgiveness, and the list can go on and on and on, like complacency. These are the little foxes that come into our lives to rob the fruits being produced in us. These are the things. Oh, and one of my favorites, I like to call it the COVID syndrome one. Habit. You got in the habit during COVID of staying home at church for two reasons. One, they closed the churches, and the other was fear. And so it got to be comfortable not going to church. Hey, I like my jammies as much as anybody and a nice warm cup of coffee. You don't have to shower. You don't have to fix your hair. You don't got to put your eyebrows on. It don't matter. You can just sit down in your comfy chair, put your feet up, get your coffee, and you can just sit there and watch. Not that that isn't awesome. I'm not saying that if you can't get out and get to church, that that's wrong. No, it's awesome. We have a much bigger base that we're reaching for people online. Sometimes there's more people online watching than sitting here. But that part's sad. And then the other reason you don't go is because you're afraid. Afraid of catching COVID. Afraid of getting sick. And so that little fox is robbing of what the community, the fellowship that God once built in the body of Christ. If we don't have community, if we don't have fellowship, are we really the body of Christ? Because Jesus was all about community. He was all about fellowship. It says in the New Testament that the disciples, after Jesus had passed and rose again and went to heaven, that they gathered daily and fellowshiped and broke bread together. They ate together every day. They shared meals together every day. They were in each other's presence. Oh, I couldn't handle that. I can't be next to that person 2 days a week, let alone every day. But that's where love is built, in fellowship. Love is built in fellowship. Love is built in getting to know Marty so much that if she ever could possibly do anything that would offend you, you'd say, I know Marty so well that she didn't mean that. She didn't mean that. I'm not going to get offended. I took that wrong. I am not going to get offended. That's not where Marty's heart is. And I know it. Satan, you can't do it. I will not let you offend me. I know Marty loves me. Do we do that? Or are we getting offended? Do we offend each other? And are we easily offended? That's lack of fellowship. That's lack of self-discipline. Lack of control. Oh, gracious, the list is going on and on in my head. It's lack of fruit. And it's allowing the foxes to steal the fruit that the Lord once produced through fellowship and community. Hallelujah. Wow, praise the Lord. Whew. The little foxes are these small things that we ignore. And these details that go unchecked, that are just allowed to run wild. These things we refuse to deal with. Habits, thoughts, words, actions. How do the little foxes spoil the vine in our relationship with Jesus? First of all, these little foxes dig holes in the passages of the vineyard, and they loosen our love and the intimacy and relationship that we have with the Lord, and they begin to eat at it, eat at the roots of it, and we begin to listen to the things the enemy is saying, and it begins to take root while it's eating the root of the foundation of our relationship with Jesus. Hallelujah. And in the end, it weakens our relationship. Hallelujah. And it begins to hinder our growth. It begins to hinder our fruit production. And so now, we just have a little fruit. And it's wormy and it's tainted because we've allowed all these little things to come in and build a separation between us and the Lord. And you know, it can get to the point where you don't even know how to find your way back to Him because you've gone so far from Him. I have heard more than one Christian who has walked away from the Lord because of the little foxes say, He wouldn't want me back anyway. It's too far. I can't be who I was anymore. It's just too far gone. And that is a lie from the pit of hell, but it's working. And we can't find our way back to the relationship we once had because the ground is no longer stable. It's riddled with holes from the little foxes. And we can't figure out how to get back there. Oh, praise the Lord. Lies of the enemy. And we just slip farther and farther away from the Lord and the relationship until the chasm becomes so great. We don't even try anymore. We don't even try. Hallelujah. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Hallelujah, Jesus. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 says, therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. You know, we have to be sleeping to let those little foxes run wild. We have to be sleeping. We have to be asleep to not notice we're no longer producing fruit. We have to be sleeping to not realize we're no longer interested in worship. We're not congregating because of COVID or because of this or that. We just don't want to go anymore. We've let complacency come in and all kinds of things, and we're just not even trying anymore. We have to be asleep because who can forget the love of Jesus? Who can forget where Jesus brought us from and where we are? Who can forget what Jesus did on the cross that gave us life? Who can forget who is the forgiver of all sins? Who can forget that? That isn't something I can forget. I dream about it. I have dreams where I'm talking and walking with the Lord. I have dreams where I'm worshiping the Lord all night long. Who can forget that when you are in an intimate relationship with Jesus? I can be driving down the road and a worship song comes on and I begin bawling and crying out to the Lord. Who can forget that? Who can forget what it feels like to be in His presence? We'd have to be asleep. It's the only explanation. That's right. He agrees. Hallelujah. You know, sleep represents darkness, unaware, things hidden. It represents without action or control in a place of unaware, even of spiritual death. Because that's what happens when we sleep, when we're not paying attention to our walk with the Lord, when we let those foxes come in and begin to steal the fruit and begin to dig holes in our vineyard. It represents spiritual darkness. It represents separation. You know, all kinds of things happen when you sleep. I'm going to use Marty. Sorry, I should have asked, but I didn't know I was going to use it. So Marty was on a sleeping pill a long time ago because she was having trouble sleeping. And she got up one morning and went into her kitchen, and there was peanut butter everywhere, everywhere, all over the cabinets, all over the counter, and she's like a clean freak, just saying. And so she's like, who the heck did that? Well, there's only one other person living in this house. It had to be Gib. She went to Gib, and she said, hey, what the heck, buddy? Clean up. If you're going to eat peanut butter in the middle of the night, clean it up. Gib's like, I didn't eat peanut butter in the night. Well, you most certainly did. It's all over the counters. Peanut butter's right there. I imagine he didn't argue much with her. Just saying. I don't imagine many people do. Just saying. She's a little bit of a spitfire there. So, you know, time goes on, and this happens several times. And then one day, she gets up to it, and she realizes there was nobody else in the house but her. It was her that had been doing it all along. She had been sleepwalking the whole time, had no memory of what she was doing in the night. My husband is a famous sleepwalker. He's got all kinds of things, or sleep actioner. He does all kinds of crazy things when he's sleeping. One night when we were newlyweds, we had a waterbed, and I was skinny back then. He wasn't heavy either. He was thin, too. But we had a waterbed. That's the point. It was a waterbed. And in the middle of the night, I got bounced up and out of that bed, and I'm on the floor looking up thinking, what the heck happened? And he's on the bed surfing. Woo! He's got those cowabunga! I'm like, what the hey? What the hey is going on here? And I'm like, Scott! Scott, it's the middle of the night. Get down from there! He didn't listen to me. He rode that wave until it was done. Then he laid back down and went down sound asleep. He remembered nothing. That is not the only experience I've had with that. So when you're asleep, you can be doing all kinds of things. You're definitely living, but you're not remembering the things you did. You're not paying attention to the things you did. That's kind of how it is when we're asleep spiritually. We're not growing. We're not paying attention. We're alive, but we're not really living. We're doing things we don't even remember. We're doing things we can't even testify to or even know. But the light is knowledge and life. Being awake, being conscious, knowing what's going on, seeing what's going on, being alert, making conscious decisions, knowing what you chose and why you chose it. I think for too long, the body of Christ in general, as a whole, has been sleeping. We've allowed things into our lives that we should not have allowed. Perhaps about 30 years ago, you wouldn't have seen pants in the church, and less than that in Mexico. 30 years ago, Christians didn't smoke. And I'm not preaching against smoking, just stating a fact. 30 years ago, Christians didn't drink, or they weren't Christians. 30 years ago, Christians didn't watch R-rated movies. Well, I'm sure they did, but they weren't supposed to, is the point. It was a standard of the church. You didn't do this. You didn't wear pants. You didn't wear overly done-up makeup. We certainly didn't go to the movies. That was bad. Or to the pool halls. We didn't go have drinks with our friends because we wanted them to stay our friends. We weren't accepting of using drugs. We didn't advocate for prostitution and pornography. These were things that were a standard against it in the church. It was a normal thing that was taught against. But how many churches today are filled with people who drink? And again, I'm not saying drinking is the issue. And how many people today in the church are smokers? Again, not the point. But how many of us watch movies that are PG movies today, but 20 or 30 years ago, they were R? Now the R movies are like watching X movies. Whew, I put on a movie not too long ago. Scott wasn't here. I put on a movie in my cabin. Whoa, that puppy's going off. Because that wasn't what was supposed to be in that movie. But they're not the same. You know, what used to be G, I don't even think they have G anymore. And what used to be PG is now R. And what used to be R is now X or triple X. Because the standards have changed. That's the point. The standard of our relationship with Jesus has somehow changed. Instead of allowing ourselves to be distant from the things of the world, to be separated, now we're somehow trying to blend in, so we're less offensive. You know, some preachers don't preach about tithing. Some preachers don't preach about holiness. Some preachers don't preach about righteousness because, well, you know, we're trying to make it more friendly to everybody. That's not the point. The point isn't that our standard of living is friendly. The point is that we live as Jesus lived, but somehow we've become accepting of the things that the church once reviled. Somehow we've done this blending so that it doesn't seem like we're so bad. We want to tell the world how they should live and that they need Jesus while we're trying to blend in to a world without Jesus and who denies Jesus. If we look the same as the world, if we talk the same as the world, if we act the same, if we do the same things, if we go to the same places, if we say the, if our actions are the same, how are we not the same? That's a question in need of answer. How are we different from the world then? Is it just because we have Jesus? Just because we can say, well, I have Jesus. Well, let me tell you, I have news for you. If we're not producing fruit, we'll be cut off and gotten rid of. And we can't be living in the bar Monday through Friday and be producing fruit. You know, I know a girl, I loved her very much, who went to bars and began to sing karaoke in the bars as a ministering tool. She was a Christian. She'd been on the worship team at one time. Beautiful voice. Beautiful voice. My children were friends with her children. I'd been to her house for dinner. She'd been to my house for prayer meetings and dinner. And she began singing gospel songs in the bar to witness to the people. She ended up just living in the bar. And then she went from being a Christian to married to a Wiccan warlock. How do you do that unless you're asleep? Unless the depth of your sleep has become so great, you've got no idea what you're doing. She had a calling. She had a ministry before her. And she's as far away from that as you can get. It breaks my heart. We can't just assimilate into the world and stand out at the same time. Hallelujah. Because we say we love Jesus doesn't mean we really love Jesus. Just because we call ourselves a Christian doesn't mean we are living a life of a disciple of Jesus Christ, which is where we're supposed to be. You and I are disciples of Jesus Christ when we follow His teachings, when we obey what He taught. If we're not living in obedience, if we're not living after Jesus, we are not disciples. Then we are not fruitful. Things about us have to change. We can't talk the same as the world talks. We can't live the same as the world lives. And am I saying hate the world? No, I'm not. I'm saying love Jesus more. Be an example for Jesus. I don't have to live in a bar to witness to a drunk. I don't have to live in a bar to witness to someone who needs to hear about Jesus. I don't have to use drugs as a witnessing tool. I know a minister, no joke. I know a man was a Christian, but he used to go and smoke marijuana with the youth of the neighborhood so that he could witness to them in their world. How many got saved? Zero. What happened to him? He got unsaved. We can't assimilate. I'm not saying hate the world. I'm not saying hate the drug addicts or the prostitutes or the gays. I'm not saying any of that. Love them, but be a standard. Love them, but be a disciple of Jesus. Hallelujah. Whew. Colossians chapter 3. Where is that line that divides us from the world? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 through 11. It says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Okay, and that's not talking about church membership here. This is talking about our flesh that is of this earth. Before Jesus, our flesh ruled our lives. And if it's still ruling our lives, we are not really saved.
There is not real relationship there. But it's talking about our flesh. Put to death your members which are of the earth, such as fornication, uncleanliness, passions, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. And if you break it down into each of those categories, it covers about every sin there is. Passion is connected to pride. Hallelujah. So is every other sin listed there. And it says, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. That means the people of the world. And it says, in which you yourself once walked. Oh, we are not the sons of the world when we follow Jesus. We are the sons and daughters of God. Hoo-hoo, that's something powerful. And that's something important. Praise the Lord. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these. And it goes on to list the other things it didn't list above. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. There is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is in all. Christ is all and in all. Put away these things. It's about a choice. It's about a choice we're not making. You know, when I first went to Mexico, I didn't speak Spanish. And we'd be in a group of people, and they'd be talking. And, you know, they'd translate for a little bit, and then the conversation would just get going so fast that they weren't translating anymore. I'm just sitting there smiling, Scott and I just... I'm not a clue. I'm lost here. And then the pastor would come back to me and say, well, it was reported to me that you said this and this, and you were in agreement with this and this. Really? Well, no. Why would, no. Who said it? Oh, I can't tell you that. Then it'd be gossip. I'm like, you really think I could have been in a conversation where I don't speak Spanish? I didn't say a thing. If you'd tell me who told you, I could tell you exactly when it was and, you know, what I did. And so I learned that sometimes when we don't take a stand and say, oh, no, this is not okay for me, they think you're accepting that it's okay. You know what? And that's how the world sees it. When we don't take a stand against the world, they see us and we're doing these things. And it's like, they're in agreement with my lifestyle. Why do I need to change? I don't want to be like that. I'm better off unsaved. Sometimes you have to take a stand. Sometimes you have to say, I'm not in agreement with this. I love you to death. But I'm not in agreement with this. I can't partake of this. Because we can't cross over that line. We've got to stop blending in. And we've got to stand and be a light in a dark place. Light doesn't blend in to the darkness. Light shatters the darkness. So if you're blending into the darkness, your candle's been put out. There's no light coming from you. And we're called to be a light. In Hebrews 12, verse 27 and 29, the word says, now this, yes, once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, things that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. When the Lord gave me this message, I was probably sleeping or really close to it because that's when I'm quiet. And I heard a shaking is coming to my people.
a shaking is coming to my people. And I don't know about you, but that made me nervous.
Well, what do you mean? What do you mean a shaking is coming?
And the Lord said, a shaking is coming to my people. Shaken, a time of shaking, such as in a hurricane, a tornado, a windstorm, a monsoon, an earthquake. All of these things happen and they shake everything around it. Sometimes nothing is left standing from the shaking. So we're talking about a spiritual shaking coming down. You know, if you grab those grapevines and you begin to shake every fruit that is immature or overripe is going to fall off to the ground. Because they can't withstand the shaking. It's the same as when the little foxes run through. Anything that's overripe or immature or still in bloom is going to fall off because it can't take the shaking. It's not stuck there with super glue. What's going to withstand the shaking is the mature. The mature. Hallelujah. Those who can rightly divide truth from lie. Those that can see in the spirit what's going on. You know, in this verse, shaken to me represents the storms of life and trials and tests and hard times and troubled times. The shaking comes and shakes, and anything that can be shaken will be shaken. And only what is firm in its foundation will stand. Only those who are awake, only those whose spiritual eyes are open to understand what's happening will hold on to the vine. Everything else is going to fall away. Hallelujah. I only see great trials ahead for America. I don't see the bliss and prosperity of America becoming greater. We are in turbulent times. And we, anybody who knows the word, knows that the times are only going to come more turbulent. The Bible clearly tells us what's coming in the last days. And I believe, like I have never believed, because when I grew up, it was the last days. I've heard it was the last days until my age now, which is older, much, but not very old. But not too old. But all my life, I've heard he's coming any day. He's coming any day, any day, any day. Well, I'm telling you, all these years, even decades later, I believe, finally, I now believe we are in the last days. Right? The signs all point to it. There's diverse earthquakes. There's world tragedies going on everywhere. Torment, storms, things happening, volcanoes going off and going off and going off. We are going to see a shaking like we've never seen before. Hallelujah. And I believe what that outpour is coming for, that outpour is coming to mature us, to strengthen us, to feed us, to draw us closer into the vine, that we won't be shaken no matter what we see or what we hear in the news, because we know in whom our foundation is, and that is Jesus. When those times come, we can stand firm and we can say, glory to the Lord. I am thankful because it is Him who feeds me. It is Him who sustains me. It is Him who takes care of me. He is my covering and He is my protection. But if we're sleeping, we're going to miss that moment. If we're sleeping, we're going to miss that move that just so builds us up and encourages us that we might still be asleep when the shaking comes. It says in Hebrews, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. Romans 13, 11 through 14 says this. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake
out of sleep. For now, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. My salvation, the day of Jesus coming, is closer now than when I first believed as a child. It is closer now than it has ever been. And we have to be awake. We have to be alert. We have to be ready. We have to be standing as an army, standing united as a front for the Lord, because the world is going to need to see our fruit. They're going to need a refuge, and we need to be that place they run to see Jesus. But if we're assimilating into the world instead of standing out as a light, they're not going to run to us. They're not going to run to us to hear about Jesus. Hallelujah. We have to wake up. We have to be awake. We can no longer assimilate. We have to be a standard in a world where there is no standard. We are living in a day, praise the Lord, where everything is acceptable. Do what you want. Serve what you want. It doesn't matter if you're a witch. It doesn't matter if you're a Vorkian. You can be whatever you want. You don't even have to be a male or a female anymore. You can choose to be a cat. I have a friend who's a counselor. She's got a girl that identifies as a cat. I said, what do? Serve her a bowl of milk in a litter box? How do you handle that? We're living in crazy days. The science doesn't lie. The DNA doesn't lie. I'm sorry. It just doesn't. You can't be a cat just because you want to identify with a cat. And if we're not being the standard for the world, there is no standard out there. It's do what you want. Live how you want. And nowadays, you know, if someone's not actually in life or death jeopardy and you call the police, they don't come anymore. What kind of a society is that where you can't call the police anymore? You can't depend on them. It is. So we have to be the standard. We cannot afford to assimilate anymore and to look the same as the world. We have to rise up and be the standard. Am I saying hate the world? No, that is the farthest from what I'm saying. Love the people. Hate the sin. Don't blend into the sin because they're sin. Stand out against it. Love them and be there for them. Love them to Jesus. But you can't love them to Jesus smoking with them, drinking with them, doing the things they do. That doesn't work. All that does is put you to sleep. And then you get tore away. It says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. That's sin. That's the enemy. And let us put on the armor of light. That's Jesus. That's Holy Spirit. Let us walk properly as in the day, and not revelry in drunkenness and in lewdness and lust, not in strife, not in envy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. We need to deny our flesh. We need to just say no to us. Just say no to the things that our flesh wants that aren't godly. Am I saying it's easy? No. No, it's not easy. It's not easy to tell yourself no. But it's time to. It's time to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on. Put on. That's simple. Put it on. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make. And I wish it would say, and put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will make no provision for the flesh. I wish it was that easy. But it's about a choice, yours and mine, on how we want to live,
on how much we want Jesus, of how much Jesus we want. How hungry are you to see God move in your life? How hungry are you to see the Lord move in your city, in your country? How hungry are you to be in an outpouring of the moving of God? 1 Thessalonians, with this I'll close. The word says, test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Jesus is good. He is good in all his ways. He is good. Hold fast to what is good. Hallelujah. He is our foundation. And we need to hold fast to him. We need to hold on to him. We need to grow and mature. And we need to put a stop to the little foxes that are spoiling the vine, that are robbing us of our fruits. Let's just take a moment. I can make a list right now that's a mile long. What are the things robbing the fruit in our life? I've got a wicked mouth. I mean, not for cussing and cursing, but for being a stinker, yeah. Really quick to get a word in, boy. Whew, I am quick at it. You get my hair up, get that hackles rising, and I can just... And then I'm thinking, oh, I can't even take that back, Lord. Oh, gosh. Hallelujah. What are the things? What are the little foxes in your life that are spoiling the vine? Maybe you have to always be the boss. Maybe it can only be your way. Maybe you have a trouble with a potty mouth. Maybe you have trouble with unforgiveness or forgiving someone. Maybe you have trouble with being critical of others. That was me. Oh my gosh, I used to be so critical. I was in a church service and a young girl that I know came in and I thought, oh Lord, who did that girl's makeup? Oh my gosh, Jesus, she looks like a clown. She needs somebody to go talk to her. She needs somebody to show her a mirror. And the Lord said to me, I see her heart and she loves me. And I said, oh, of course she does, Jesus. I didn't mean that she didn't. I just meant that, you know, look at her. She looks like a clown. And he said, why are you looking at that? Who are you to judge? Well, I'm not judging, Lord. That's exactly what you're doing. Judging my daughter who loves me. Oh, you're right. And I had to learn to stop doing that. I didn't even realize that I was being naughty. You know, I mean, I'm thinking she needs help and I'm willing to help her. Hey, send me, Lord. You know, sometimes we get it so twisted up in our own head that we think we're doing something for someone else's benefit, and it's really not. It's out of an absolute wrong spirit. I don't do that anymore. Praise the Lord. But maybe you do. You know, all of these things are robbing the fruit from your life. Let's just take a moment. And I'm going to pray, and while I say a prayer in closing and a prayer over the service, just take a moment and think about what are the little foxes running through your vineyard. What are these things that you need to stop? Only you can say, I don't know your vineyard. You've got to be the one. It's about each of our own choices. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you tonight, Lord, and we just ask you, Jesus, to reveal the foxes that are robbing us of your fruit, Father, that are robbing us of being all that you want us to be, Father. Lord, we just repent right now. Lord, we just say, forgive us, Father, forgive us of allowing these foxes to run. Forgive us of the damage they've caused, Lord, and we just ask you to bring healing into us, oh God. Lord, we ask you to heal us. And we ask you to forgive us, Lord. And we ask you, Jesus, to help us no longer assimilate to the things of the world, but to stand out and be the standard. To stand out and be your standard for your glory, Jesus. Not in judgment, not in criticism, but Lord, let us stand in your love. Let us stand in the gap in your love, Father. Lord, that when the shaking comes, that we can stand and be a light, Lord Jesus, for the people. Oh, God, we just praise you tonight, Father. Lord, we're just so thankful for your presence. We're just so thankful for your forgiveness and for your love, oh, God. And, Lord, we just praise you and we just worship you tonight, Father. And we just say, amen, Lord Jesus. If you tuned in this evening, I just want to say thank you. God bless you. We'd love to see you here. We just thank the Lord for you and we just ask that you have a great night. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's all stand, shall we?